that a message saying it's working? Okay.
No, never.
I didn't have it open. I just...
It's totally broken.
Okay. Hello again, and welcome to the Mana Pool. This is episode... Oh, God, you think I'd know this by now.
148.
Really? Oh, wow. 148.
Because I just zipped up 147.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to work on it last night, and I realized I didn't have it.
Oops.
I wouldn't have actually worked on it. I was just going to start. Anyway, yes. Hello again, and welcome to the Mana Pool. This is episode 148 of the Mana Pool. Guys, we are only two episodes away from freaking 150.
Maybe we're progressing through, aren't we?
What was that, Mike?
I said maybe we should come up with an idea.
So, the Scars pre-release is this weekend.
Yay.
This weekend?
Yes. And I talked to Lucky earlier. They're having a Friday at midnight, a Saturday at 1, and a Sunday at noon.
Wait, what time on Saturday?
1.
Okay.
O'clock. P.M. Oh, jam!
Why are they not starting until 1?
If I have to work, I will not be there.
Hey, me too! Although I already told them that due to prior non-reschedulable arrangement, appointments, I will not be working past, well, I guess at 11, but that'll be noon. So I guess if they really need me to, I can go in for like 4 hours on Saturday morning and then come see you guys. So yeah, hey listeners, I'm very sorry for how late these episodes have been. I know I ranted about this a lot on the last, or at least I think I ranted about this a lot on the last episode. I actually don't remember much about the last episode. Like, I don't remember much about last week at all. It was a little weird. I worked a total of 75 hours last week. That's 2 weeks last week, for those of you keeping count. And so, last night I'm sitting here playing Duel Decks, the Elspeth vs. Tezzeret with Scott. And all of a sudden I realized, he's like, so what did you do last week anyway? And I went, I don't know. I know I played some Smash Brothers a little bit. I'm pretty sure I was there for the recording. Nobody said I sounded dead, so I guess I was okay during the recording.
Well, you did. I just didn't want to say anything.
Was it that bad?
There was no point saying. Like, hey, Chewie, you sound like crap.
Oh. Sorry about that, listeners, if it was that bad.
I actually don't remember very well.
Yeah, see? So I'm not the only one. Ha!
I remember we wanted to try to have Tosis on, but y'all couldn't do math, and you didn't actually time it right.
Yeah, he thought that it was 3 a.m. in Germany when we were recording. No, it was 1 a.m. He said, oh, you know, I could have just stayed up for that. Hey, dummy. And then we got all caught up in the conversation. I forgot to give him a shout-out, so sorry about that, Tosis. We still love you, man. And we have no special guests this week unless somebody shows up later. Because, well, just due to bad planning on everyone's part. Mostly mine. Okay, all me. I am everyone in this particular story.
Claire's online. You can call her.
Oh. Then I'd just be hurting. Hurting? I'd be hurting, all right. Then I'd just be hitting on her all night. How you doing? Have you left that loser Jeff for me yet? Huh? Jeff will be singing in the reminder. No. Hey, buddy.
Who invited you here?
I know, right? The hell off of my call. Okay, then. So, we are brought to you by CardShark.com, a better way to buy and sell collectible card games. That's all I have to say about that. They are a wonderful sponsor.
I like them.
Yes. Also, oh wait, no. Also, I am the Chewy, the ringleader here, the lead dork, I guess, as it were. And with me, as always, are some dorks. We have Dirk, who's the greenest man alive, and resident.
That's me.
Resident, I guess, genius. Is that the way we're putting it here lately?
Yeah, Dirk, pretty much.
I was about to say, this is the first time I've heard it, but you know. I guess I do have my moments.
Seems like once an episode, somebody says, Derek, you're a genius.
Or at least they're thinking it. You can tell.
Or at least we're thinking it really hard. We have Mike, who's... How is it Tosis put it in the intro? You know what? I'm going to use... That intro you heard in this episode is the one that Tosis made for us. In honor of him not mathing properly.
I think it's Resident Oldster is the way he's...
Yeah, he's the rules guy and Resident Oldster.
Yeah.
Because you have been playing continually for the longest.
Right. And also the absent-minded professor.
I prefer to think of you as a nutty professor.
Oh.
Yes. And that last voice was Brian, who is our resident lawyer.
Huh. Yep, and got my law license in the mail just yesterday, so I'm all set. I am Brian Baker, attorney at law. Wow, that sounds evil.
That's terrifying. You know the only thing worse than that?
What's that?
Chewy Slate, MD.
Oh my god. What kind of doctor would you be? A beard doctor?
What?
I have to say, though, both of you have really good last names for stuff like that.
What, Baker and Slate?
Yeah.
Okay, that definitely sounds like a company if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. Thank you
especially
for buying
when you
stuff.
Make it like...
Baker and Slate, LLC. Yeah. What? Or BS. Yeah, whereas Mike, I'm sorry, but yours wouldn't really work so well because we'd be like, is this shiver and shiver? And Mike would go, ah! Right then. So, Card Shark hosts something something. Hey, we've got email. Before that, we have new members on the forums. Bernie, BYRNIE, Bernie, and the Bruce. Hello, Bruce. Hear, hear, well spoken, Bruce. I like the way Ben and I are doing this, and nobody seems to be following along. But it's a Monty Python sketch, for those of you that don't know. Oddly enough, yesterday, before the Bruce joined, I did something stupid, and I looked at Scott and said, howls of derisive laughter, Bruce! What's the name of that sketch? Bruce's. That's the name of the sketch.
Was it from the television show?
Hell, I don't know.
There's still a lot of that I haven't seen.
I heard the audio version. If I have it, I'll email it to you later.
Okay. I don't think all of the album sketches appeared somewhere else, so it might be specific to one of the albums.
But, yeah. The Philosopher Song is in it, or Drunken Philosopher Song, or whatever it's called. Oh, well. So, those are our new members on the forums. Now, we have the email. What, the email? Mo B, in fact, from ATLGA. Mo B from ATLGA. I can't do all these letters, man. Let's see. He said he really enjoys the show. I appreciate that. And although he considers himself more of a tournament player, he does enjoy his fair share of kitchen table shenanigans. Or shenanigans, you know.
Shenanigans.
He said, anyways, the real reason I'm sending this email, other than to boost your egos, is because I saw a card spoiled on MTG Salvation, which has now been spoiled completely. Actually, I think by the time he sent this, it was spoiled legally.
It was like the next day it was spoiled.
So the next day. So by the time I got the email then. It is Semblance Anvil, which we will talk about shortly. And he said, instantly, all I could think of is Mike saying, what if it costs two less? And I couldn't help but chuckle a little bit on the inside and a lot of bit on the outside. Anyway, keep up the great work on the show. It's one of the things I look forward to every week, along with some other MTG podcasts, unnamed, and We're Alive, a zombie podcast, which I am now going to look up on iTunes because I'm strange like that. So that was Moby. from ATL, Georgia. What do we do? Foe ya. Sorry. Georgetown, ho yes. Hey, it's Eric. Yes, we are recording. You got a Ben shout out. What up, G question mark? Okay. The Beamy. Eric says, hi, Ben, and all the world. The Beamy sent us an email. He is from Manuscrewed, podcast Manuscrewed. Trevor and Tom from MTG Radio were awesome and reminded me of the epic episode we had with Christian and Brian from the Avant Card Show.
Oh, wow.
He says, I know they aren't coming back, but it's sad. I really enjoyed them and Claire, too. Wink. And... Yes, we all enjoyed Claire too. Them and Claire too. He said, when it was... Oh, I think it means when it was still on, he was listening to the Manipool for 2 hours while he was going where he was going, and then on his way back from where he was going, he was listening to the Avant Card Show for 2 hours. And then, of course, who has those pictures of Claire in the Magikarp bikini anyways?
I do.
Me too.
And of course the two married guys are like, we saw them.
I didn't, you know, hold on to it forever and ever.
And let's see here.
Well, it hasn't been forever just yet.
Give it a little longer?
Yeah.
Sure feels like it. What is this? This is something else. Calvin! Or Ravenest, actually. Oh, this is a good idea. He said, I think you should use Chewie's hiccup as a sound effect to censor when someone curses.
Yeah, I heard
that. It sounds so natural that you would miss the curse and just assume that it's the way it worked out. Which I think is pretty cool. I've been looking for a sound effect ever since I found out the guys on the Retro League use the Mario coin sound. I've been trying to think of a sound effect that we could use that would be... Oh, there it was. That would be universal. That was actually a hiccup, not a curse.
The Wilhelm scream.
How about no? Not the Wilhelm scream. The Howie Long.
I hate that scream.
Oh, but that's so awesome. Obviously, since I used it 18 times that one episode. I did that just to prove a point. It wasn't because I actually like it that much. So that is our... listener mail, although we have a few older ones we should probably do.
Yeah, some of them are for topics that we still might come back to.
Let's see here.
I only have one that isn't.
Okay, handle it. Or who is it? Which one?
From Patrick, about a guest suggestion.
Oh, yeah, he wanted us... He was thinking either we would have one or two people on at once, and he was thinking we were going to have multiple guests on one episode, you know, like a whole fleet of people, which I guess we could do.
There was one time we had, like, seven people in a room, but we didn't have a problem with talking over because everyone was in the same room so they could see each other. And you could kind of tell when someone was about to say something. So
that was after the cube draft. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Sorry, I'm drinking out of a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew. But he said something like, stagger the guests in 5 to 20 minute gaps. Get one person used to what's going on. And then when we introduce the next person, then... the first new person is now like a host, and the other person is the new guest. And just keep it going like that, which is actually pretty cool. But that takes a whole lot of more planning than we are capable of doing, I think.
And for us, it might accidentally end up turning into some kind of perpetual motion machine.
Yes.
Which isn't all bad. I mean, you know. Perpetual motion is a myth, so it's all good.
Except
was that
for,
basically
of course,
what he was going for?
Huh?
So was that basically what this email was about? Because it's really long and I can't...
Yeah, it was. That's what it was.
Oh, and he's got a link to a feature article about purple cards being considered for Planar Chaos. Which I have not read in a very long time.
I read that a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah. So I will have to, I'll have to read that again. Sorry I didn't read it now. But I will read it probably by the time we finish. Or while Brian is talking, I'll just pull it up and just start
reading. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Okay.
What is this?
I think that's all the emails.
Javier.
Huh?
Is that Professor J?
Yeah.
Is that the J's kid?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I believe so.
I get everybody's freaking real name and Facebook thing and forum handle and all that confused. So he's the one who sent me to the original Facebook album that had the first batch of preview cards. He's like, hey, is the Wizards Facebook page official? I was like, yes. He's like, cool, I'm posting it in the forums. Here's the link. Oh, okay, cool. Cool.
He must just be sending stuff to you then, because I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, that was sent to me. I don't know why. But, and anyway, you could tell Mike so he doesn't reprimand me for unlawful knowledge sharing. But anyway, and the,
Ben seemed kind of offended by what I said. Well, I mean, I guess I did call him a moron, but he seemed like more offended than
how could he take offense at that?
Okay. Maybe he slightly had a reason. But still, it's me. Come on.
It's you, yeah. I was like, I figured you would, when you said you were going to do that, I figured you'd do it slightly more playfully than you did. I was like, oh, Lord.
If I were, well, yeah, kind of screwed up, but whatever.
That's the official response. Yeah, I screwed up, but who cares?
Anyway, the subject on this email is all that and a bag of General Akbar's every flavor squid tentacles. Which I'm pretty sure is the only reason I saved it for as long as I did, because I wanted to say that on the air.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
Okay, then. So, that's our emails. If we missed anybody, I'm very sorry. Eric left. Good. I can close Gmail. We've got new members. I did that. Here, here, well-spoken Bruce. Did you guys see the picture I put on the this last episode?
I saw it.
I was quite proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Communist manifesto, but with the Scars of Mirrodin icon as the background. I like that a lot. Now, I love that it's a Signet classic. I'm just like, yeah, I read that. Slightly more, you know, artifact-y than I remembered.
Yeah, well, you know. I enjoyed that. It took me forever, but because I was using paint, because it's the only sort of anything I have on here. But I think it was worth it. Let's see here. So I can close Facebook. And I can close the idiot box. Everybody wish me luck. By the time you hear this, I will have done the first round of the Ultimate Comic Challenge and hopefully made it to round two. Yay.
Hopefully.
Yay.
Hopefully. Dirk's coming to see me. Yay, Dirk.
Yay, me.
Mike's coming to see me. Yay, Mike.
Yay, Mike.
Brian doesn't know.
I know. I just boo Brian. For now. We'll
he
see.
He may or may not have some $10. All right, then. So, hey, we should bring back that thing that we used to do a lot that we haven't done in a while because it's funny.
You mean out of the deck box?
No, that's not
that's,
funny.
That's more sad than anything else, usually.
Oh, that's not sad.
You must mean Mad Libs.
Is that what I meant? I was thinking Pimp My Deck Box. Ah!
We never really did Pimp My Deck Box.
It's true. We thought about it and then we realized, wow, we really don't feel qualified to tell people what's in their decks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we never did.
Yeah. No, one of the main reasons we fell off is because I was studying for the bar exam, and this has always kind of been my baby. Did anybody else come up with any? No? No? Okay. All right.
Jars sent us one.
Jars did send it, but I meant of us. But Jars took the initiative, and someone else also did one on the forums, and it came out really well. Was that also Jars, or was that someone else?
I forgot about that.
We really appreciate this person so much that we, you know, forgot. But, no, we have a brand new Mad Lib, so shall we get to it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. What?
Sorry. Nothing.
Did you say blue?
Yeah. You can ask blue's, for a color?
Blue's broken. So.
Yes, it is.
I know, I'm going to ask for a sorcery. Thank you very much.
Oh, damn. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. If it's one of a sorcery, we should grab one from the new set.
Do you want to do everything from this visual spoiler?
That might take too long.
Okay. Because we're not
There's a really great one in black. What is it called? Hang on. No, not psychic miasma.
I came up with an answer.
What was it then?
I said forget.
That's a sorcery, really?
Yeah. Isn't it?
I like that better, because this actually, the one I'm thinking of was an instant, because I can't find it.
So forget it is.
Yes, that sounds good.
All right, now I need a color. Is it blue?
Blue!
Blue it is.
Yay! Right. It's broken.
Now I need a number. I'm going at 2 points in this. I'm going to ask for a number. I realize that's not a magic card, but I need a number.
13.
Okay. Now I need a color.
Green.
Okay, now I need a color.
Red.
Okay. I need a land.
Mishra's Factory. Dude, I got to play with one last night. It was awesome.
That's broken.
All right, now I need a color.
White. Aquamarine.
White. Now I need a color.
Damn it. Aquamarine.
Black.
Black. All right, now I need a color.
Orange.
I need a color, one of the five colors. Thank you.
How many colors have we said?
So far, you said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So go back to blue.
Okay. All right, now I need a creature.
I don't have...
Darksteel Mirror.
Ha! He's emo!
All right, now I need... This is the last time. I need either a color or any combination of colors.
Aquamarine!
Red-black.
All right, red-black. Okay, now I need a sorcery.
Siphon Soul.
There you go.
I need an instant.
Seize the initiative.
What?
It's from Scars. I just happened to be scrolling up past it when he said
it's
the one that was on the screen.
Yeah, that one has a dumb name.
It is a dumb name. That's why I said it.
Seize the initiative. All right, I need a white enchantment.
True Conviction.
Glorious Anthem.
I heard True Conviction first.
Sorry, I was scrolling down past it.
I was going to say Noble Purpose. That's kind of like True Conviction.
What the hell is wrong with us?
Yeah, we went all different directions.
Okay, I need an instant.
Disenchant.
All right, I need a creature.
Blue!
Oh, the architect. What's his name? Grand Architect.
It's a Grand Architect.
He's the Blue Lord. That just got printed.
Oh, well, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I need an aura.
Arrest?
You just have the white... You still have the white page front and center.
Yeah, I just flipped to a different color just because of that.
All right. Now I need another number.
37.
Okay.
My favorite number.
All right, I need an artifact.
There aren't any.
Dorman's Crypt.
You're a prick.
I love Dorman's Crypt. I only have one, I think, but I love it.
Non-creature card.
What?
Lich's Tomb.
Oh, there it is.
How does that actually work? That actually works. And finally, I need an instant.
Evacuation.
Ooh. Nice.
Evacuation. No, wait, that's not how the song goes.
All right. Let's go. This is actually a concept I had been toying around with for a while for doing in a Mad Lib. This one's called End Game. And this should be very easy for you to grasp. Hey there, listeners. We've got all four mana pool hosts in Forgetting Battle. So let's get into the action. Dirk's mono blue deck has been having a standout performance tonight, with Dirk still at a comfortable 13 life. Brian's quirky green-red-green-wed deck has had its moments, but is currently stalled with just six Mishra's Factories in play.
Hold on. Judge?
There might be some Vesuvas, who knows. Chewie's white-black-blue deck came out of the gates and hasn't slowed down yet. with an impressive Darksteel mirror terrorizing the board.
He's being emo.
He's emo! And it's, oh my god, his emo-ness is infecting the rest of us.
Everybody's cutting their wrists and listening to bad music.
I'm sad, okay. I'm flying.
Okay. Finally, Mike and his red-black deck are keeping everyone on their toes with a threat of an imminent Siphon Soul.
Woohoo!
Ready to put the game away, Dirk casts a crazy 3, sees the initiatives in his main face, and got ready to attack.
Dirk, you're a moron. Chewie. It's your mono-blue deck.
Chewie, fearing that Dirk would not honor their previous pact of true conviction, responded with a lethal disenchant to Dirk's head.
But he must have used an astronaut's transmogrant on Dirk's head beforehand.
Dirk was at a low 13 life. With Dirk out of the way, Chewie's dominance was short-lived as Mike drew the Grand Architect Arrest combo he had been waiting for. Chewie bit the dust and Brian fell to a precarious 37 life. Almost out of options, Brian knew that his graveyard full of Tormald's Crypts was his only hope, but he also needed a miracle draw. This was it. Would he pull it off? Brian untapped and slowly flipped up the top card. Amazing! It was a Lich's Tomb. Exactly the card he needed. Everyone started going nuts. Then Mike countered it with an evacuation. Oh. The end.
Hold on. Lich's... Lich's Tomb. Oh, okay, never mind. That's the one where you sack a permanent. Okay.
Darn you and your countering evacuations.
You and your graveyard full of Torment Crypts.
They go well with my How multiple ironic. Mistress factories. You guys like that?
Yep.
It was good to do one.
That was
good
great.
To do one again. Yeah. I was like, why have we never done one that's just a Magic game before? So we'll do another one like that, but not for a while. Got to mix it up. So what's next? Well, don't everybody go all crazy at once.
I was trying to figure out why you'd ask. I'm like, there's nothing left. That's the end of the episode.
Actually, if we don't want to do the Scarred and Mirrored and Visual spoiler like right now, I actually made some notes about the Oracle and Compril's update, but I left
them
out of the room, so I'm going to have to get up and get those.
Oh, and what about the banned and restricted?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, let's talk about that, too.
Wait, when did this happen?
The banned and restricted list was earlier in the week, and the Oracle and Compril's update was today. I don't have the links. I'm going to go get my notes, if Brian, you could find those links.
I will. I don't have my internet up right now, but I will send you links.
Okay.
Here's the rules update. Copy. Paste. Okay, while everyone's doing this, here's what I did last night. Scott and I played some dual decks, Elspeth versus Tezzeret, which I bought like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago from Randy. Good lord. And, well, that sounded good. We shuffled them up. I was playing Tezzeret, he was playing Elspeth. And in the first two games, the same things happened. You ready for this?
He
tried to play Elspeth on turn 4, and I discarded an island to foil it. Both times. Or both games. And then, I guess I pissed him off because he ran me over. And, do what?
You mean your machine army couldn't stop him?
No, not even slightly. It was sad. I was like, ha! I get one more blocker out, and then I can't lose. And he's like, yeah, Sword Splash are your dude, or yeah, Blinding Beam to tap your dudes, or yeah, I'll just play like two other dudes. I'm like, But the third game, I managed to just completely own Zor him because of Steel Overseer, of all things. Steel Overseer in a deck with a fair amount of artifact creatures is ridiculous. That and an energy chamber out when I have an ever-flowing chalice, that helps too. Turn them up, keep a look at taps for three now. And then I just ran him over. And then in the fourth game, he wasn't mana screwed, he wasn't mana flooded. He just couldn't get anything that did anything. He would get like a stupid little dude, and then like a bunch of land, and then a stupid little dude, and then a bunch of land. I guess that one was mana flooded. Shut up. And I ran him over. And then we played a fifth game, and he got a good start and then stalled just nothing. And I was able to run him over there too. But when it was an honest battle, he won.
Handily?
Oh yeah. So my initial take on Elspeth versus Tezzeret is that they're pretty well balanced, but I think Elspeth has the edge. Because of the three games that were just, you know, straight up brawls,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he destroyed me in two of them, and I happened to get a Steel Overseer and stick it one of the others and just make my guys bigger than his guys. And then the others, I just ran him over because he couldn't seem to draw anything that did anything. So, yeah, they were fun. When he hit my Master of Aetherium with the Swords to Plowshares, after he blocked and killed two of my attackers, he's like, let's see here, I'll block that one there, and I'll make my guy bigger, and I'll block that one there, and okay, those will both die, and then all sorts of plushers, your master. I was like, oh man! Damn! And when I played a Mishra's Factory and turned him into a creature right before I tapped my Steel Overseer, so he got a counter. Good times, good times.
Am I mixing up in my head Mishra's Workshop and Mishra's Factory?
I think you are.
Possibly.
He's the assembly worker dude.
Okay.
The Mishra's okay. Workshop is that broken combo engine thing.
Yes. Okay.
So that was basically that.
Cool. Well, now everybody has a copy. Everybody has a link to the banned and restricted list announcement, and everyone has a copy to the thing.
Yes.
The rules update.
Precisely.
So, Mike.
Monkeys.
So the only change to the banned and restricted list was a change to vintage, and two cards got unrestricted, and I was very surprised to see these.
This is nuts.
Frantic Search is unrestricted, and Gush is unrestricted.
Mm-hmm.
That is totally not right.
That's pretty
huge. Read these real quick there, Mike.
Okay, Frantic Search, I mean, I can say them off the top of my head from memory. It's an instant. It's a common from Urza's Legacy for a blue and two. Draw two cards and discard two cards and untap up to three lands. I know.
Yeah.
Gush, that was a common from
Mercadian Masks.
Nemesis. Huh?
Mercadian Masks.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah. Mercadian Masks.
Because I drafted the heck out of that when we were doing our Mercadian Masks draft.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. It was pretty cool. Yes, it's from Mercadian Masks, and it costs a blue and four, and it's an instant. And, you draw two cards, but you can return two islands you control to their owner's hand instead of paying Gush's mana cost.
Which is also ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that they got, that's very interesting that they got unrestricted. Eric Lauer wrote an explanation of it. There's a link to it there in the announcement. And he's basically saying that they want to see what would happen if they want to see what happens. Because they think that the format has diversified enough that making those, that making you allowed, that making it allowed for you to play multiple copies of those won't make everything miserable again. Like, he calls out Merchant Scroll is still being restricted. That's very important. Very important.
Yeah. And
Mystical Tutor just recently got restricted.
Which is also good.
Yeah, so those are more problematic cards than Gush or even Frantic Search.
Gush and Frantic Search, I think, were restricted back in the day because they're really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, and lots of decks were running them, and they went, well, let's just get rid of those. But nowadays, they're actually, I think they're actually trying to narrow down and focus on what the problems are.
Yeah, before they did a lot more, because they didn't think they really had time to do that analysis. There were some bannings that seemed kind of panicky. Some blanket bannings and restrictions in various formats.
Yeah. But now, I mean, Frantic Search is powerful, and Gush is stupidly powerful, but they're not the problem.
Right.
Okay, draw two cards. Woo! So, yeah, I'm proud of them for giving this a try.
Mm-hmm.
I like at the bottom, at worst, we suspect this is an experiment worth running again with other restricted cards. That's at worst, and that's good. So...
Yeah, this could be interesting. You hear that, everyone out there who plays Vintage? Don't ruin this for everybody.
You guys.
Okay, so, rules update.
Rules update, yes. I actually made some notes, so I wouldn't just be paging aimlessly through the rules update. So, this is Matt Tabak's first update bulletin. He's the new rules manager. Mark Gottlieb went back to development. At least
isn't he just an interim rules manager?
I don't know.
Seems like in that one article I read of Morrow's recently, which is the one article I've read at all recently, he mentioned something about, at least in my brain it says this, he mentioned something about Matt Tabak being just an interim guy. Although I might be making that up, but I don't know why I would, so.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he is.
Maybe so. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, so. he puts up some bullet points on the introduction page, and before I read to the paragraph after them where he says, where he starts saying, okay, maybe that isn't real shit, I started being like, what? What? The bullet points he puts up is an update on contraptions and what they mean to you. The long-awaited return of the damage prevention window. That's when I started to go, what? Some adjustments to Grand Melee in anticipation of next year's Pro Tour schedule. Some new rules terms, Birdle and Dirtle. He says, okay, those aren't the real changes, but I'll keep them in my back pocket just in case. And I'm like, phew.
And it was at that point that Mike's brother cursed out loud because he really wanted some contraptions.
Yes, he does.
And I have heard him use the words Birdle and Dirtle at least three times on three separate occasions.
You must pay a lot more attention to him than I do.
I'm just making stuff up. I have heard him say herpaderp, though, so maybe that counts.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so there were some functional changes. Celestial Sword, the change to that is interesting because, to me, it shows some conflict around what they've said in the past about wanting to return cards to printed functionality versus trying to capture the original intent of cards. And I was wondering if this one was actually appropriate. Like the new wording of Celestial Sword is pay three and tap it. Target creature you control gets +3/+3 until end of turn, and its controller sacrifices it at the beginning of the next end step. But the original printing of the sword said bury. So, which now is destroy no regeneration, and sacrifice is really different than that. And I'm just wondering whether this is appropriate. Whether it's appropriate to turn some instances of bury into sacrifice. Since bury meant something that you can write down with words now.
I like writing with words.
Yeah. Lich got an update that makes it work a little more, and I was just glad to see they still care about this guy. That was all. Transmute Artifact was another thing that stood out to me as speaking of printed versus intense, and I was wondering, it's interesting that sacrificing an artifact is no longer a cost of an additional cost of playing the card anymore. Now it's part of the effect, and the rest of the card only happens if you actually did sacrifice an artifact, which is interesting. Originally, it was printed not as a cost. Originally, it was printed that you go get an artifact out of your deck first, and then you sacrifice another one, and then pay differences in costs, and then blah, blah, blah. If you didn't, then they both go to the graveyard, and blah. Transmute Artifact was just a total wall of text, even when it was first printed.
Yeah, I pulled it up, I moused over the title here to read it, and I went, never mind.
Yeah, I could barely read it.
That's saying something.
Yeah. Not content with just messing with Lich, he also took another look at Word of Command. And with the language they have now about being able to control a player, it might look like it's finally good to go now without being completely incomprehensible. Listen to this. Look at target opponent's hand and choose a card from it. You control that player until Word of Command finishes resolving. That player plays that card if able. While doing so, the player can activate mana abilities only if they're from lands he or she controls and only if mana they produce is spent to activate other mana abilities of lands he or she controls and or play that card. If the chosen card is cast as a spell, you control the player while that spell is resolving. It still sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that's easy to explain to someone, but it makes the the common templating conventions just kind of crap themselves when you try to put them on a card. I just think it's so funny.
This is crazy. Like, it's such an easy card to grok.
Yeah.
And yet, trying to make it fit within the rules and templating just makes you want to kill yourself. Is that why you have it as your dude on your avatar on the forums?
Yes, that's part of the reason why I use the art from Word of Command as my forum avatar. Yeah. Because it's just so funny and weird.
Man.
Something in the non-functional Oracle changes. Oathkeeper, Takeno's Dice Show, got an update to make what it's supposed to do actually clearer. And you know what? I never noticed it, that it looked at the creature while it was in the graveyard, and it doesn't use last known information about what it was while it was in play. So it doesn't care whether it was a samurai before it died. It only cares whether or not it's a samurai card, because it looks at it in the graveyard.
Huh.
Yeah, I never noticed that.
So someone hit it previously, or is this...
Huh?
Okay, hold on. Is this now or previously? If someone hit it with let's say the little dude who removes all tokens, or all creature types...
The Amoeboid Changeling.
Yeah, if someone hits it with an Amoeboid Changeling in response to it, like, taking lethal damage, it would not come back, right?
It would. It always would. Because it's still a samurai card in the graveyard, because Amoeboid Changeling stopped affecting it when it changed zones. But I always thought that it used last known information about what the creature was on the battlefield, so I would have played it wrong in that situation.
Earlier. Oh, I didn't read the new wording. If it's a samurai card.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It's the card itself. That's what you mean. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the card itself, it's missing that extra word, samurai card. But the card itself, the way it's written, it works the same way.
Yeah.
They just didn't use the right vocabulary.
Holy crap. Soren Markov got a rewrite.
Oh, yeah, to say you control the player instead of controlling their turn.
You control right. the target player during that player's next turn. That is so much more badass.
That matches the new Mindslaver wording now.
Mm-hmm.
That is so much more badass.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Than you control their next turn. No, you control them. Oh, damn.
There were a couple interesting changes to the comp rules. Of course, all the new stuff from Scars of Meriden got added in. Yep. But let's see. Zone-based play restrictions, they still function outside the game. That's a change.
Okay, hold on. Which rule are you looking at?
112.6E.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'll say the names of those. And the example they give is, it matters if you change Sponsor of Ulamog to, say, Knight instead of Eldrazi. You still can't bring in Hakon from outside the game. Before, it would have allowed you to do that, but you really shouldn't be able to do that, so they changed it to say that zone-based play restrictions still work outside the game.
Oh, because Hakon, you can play from your graveyard or not from anywhere else, and anywhere else includes not in the game.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
But previously, the rule didn't say that, and this is actually a change. Let's see. A new rule associated with phasing. 702.23 I.
No one cares. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Abilities that trigger on something attaching or unattaching don't trigger when something phases in or out. Similarly to how enters the battlefield, leaves the battlefield, triggers don't happen when something phases in or out.
Oh, okay. I see what it means about Grafted War Gear. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I'll phase out Grafted War Gear so my guy is smaller and he doesn't die. I was like, okay, that's nice.
So if you phase out a creature, does everything attached to it phase with it?
Yes. That was always part of the rule of phasing.
So if you phase out the Grafted War Gear, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, and when it comes back, you can reattach it to something else.
No, because... Huh? No. Why? What? Wait a minute.
If you phase out Grafted War Gear is attached to your dude, and you phase out Grafted War Gear itself somehow, When it comes back, it is not still attached to that dude, is it?
I need to go back and read what the rules for phasing actually say, because I've only read summaries of them. The summaries being that if something's phased out, then the game just ignores it for as long as it's phased out. So I need to go and read that and see what is really happening. But I think you might be right. That probably makes sense. I guess that's why they would bother even saying this in the first place. Okay. 800.4 A and B got a clarification. You can't control players anymore if you leave the game. So when you leave the game, players. So when you leave the game, you lose control of any players you're controlling. And then if you were set up to control someone later, you don't. If you've left the game by that point.
Okay, hold on. So if you mindslaver somebody,
mm-hmm.
but before their next turn, someone kills you.
Yes.
Then you don't control their turn anymore.
Right.
Okay, well, duh. So in the previous rules, what, did that player just sit there waiting on the dead person to come back and make their decisions for them? Or was it just an understood loophole, but the rules didn't actually do it?
In the previous rules, the previous rules didn't talk about you controlling another player. Okay, so maybe this is just an update of those two rules to go with the new vocabulary for controlling. Since you're not controlling turns anymore, you're controlling players.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Cool.
Ta-da.
Woo! Dark, you still there?
Thought.
Yep. So is that it, Mike?
Yep, those are all the notes I made.
Shall we take a fast break?
Like Michael Jordan's? No, Magic Johnson's fast break? That was an old NES game.
Sure.
Sorry. Okay, so, since we have no music, I don't have any music set up, let's have...
I'll sing a ballad.
I'm just going to say screw it. You know that song we were talking, or that Monty Python skit we were talking about at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
There's a song at the end of it. I'm not sure what it's called. I'll look it up. I've always called it the Philosopher's Drinking Song or something like that. So, I will try to find a clip of that is not horribly insulting or horribly offensive and use it. So, yay Monty Python.
You could use
all because the Bruce joined our forums. Thank you, the Bruce. What was that, Mike?
Then you could use the hiccup noise to censor it.
Yeah, that'll be too much trouble when there's music involved. It's okay. So, Bruce's Monty Python Drunken Philosopher song, BRB. LOL.
RTFC.
Socrates himself was permanently pissed. John Stuart Mill of his own free will on half a mug of shandy was particularly ill. Plato the same could sing it away. Half a grain of whiskey every day. Aristotle was a bagger for the bottle. Hobbes was fond of his dram. And René Descartes was a drunken fart. I drink, therefore I am. Yes,
all right.
Oh, I can always tell when we start recording after the break because the very first sound you hear on the recording is Mike going, all right. Also, when there's a pause for more than like 6 seconds, Mike will, all right. It's pretty cool. Okay, so now that we've done all this other stuff that people may or may not care about, we should talk about scars.
Yep. Full visual spoilers up as of today.
Yep. And I'm going to jump straight to the lands.
Okay.
I'm not sure how I feel about the new rare duels. I don't particularly like them, actually.
I love them. I think that they are highly undervalued right now. Some other sites are selling them for under $4. these may be some of the most influential dual lands to be released in quite some time, because they do something that almost no other dual land does, which is fortify the early game. Come in untapped on the first two turns. That's really important. And then later, the difference is negligible, because you have other dual lands or other basic lands filling the gap. These are incredibly undervalued right now.
I don't know, man. If you're trying to get to three mana, and this is the third land you draw, you're going to curse a lot.
Well, no. This works on turn three. They work properly up until turn three.
What are you talking about?
Two or fewer other lands.
Oh, other lands. Okay, so if you're trying desperately to get to four, which I think we'll all agree is a pretty important mana cost.
Four is pretty massive.
And this is the fourth land you draw. It's two or fewer others. Excuse me, I did not see the other. Okay, so for what we're talking about...
So in those instances...
Okay, go ahead.
So in the instances where you either have it in your opening hand and don't play it in the first three turns, which is just silly, or you draw it on turn four, like you don't draw it on turns one, two, or three, and then replace one of your other land drops with it, in that instance, and you draw it before you draw another land, it's pretty bad, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. Fortifying the early game is massively important.
My only point there is that that's something that historically dual lands don't do very well, because that's the downside to them. And not just dual lands, but any sort of land. You have a land with an extra ability. Well, how do we fix it? It comes into play tapped. So, but I, you know, please continue. I've made my point, so go ahead.
Fair enough. So what we're talking about are Black Cleave Cliffs, Copperline Gorge, Dark Slick Shores, Razor Verge Thicket, which is sort of like Proletariat, and Seachrome Coast, which I just love these names.
I have to say I'm very proud of them for not using the mix and match five words names thing on this cycle.
That like got they did with the border posts?
The border posts.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Well, it was cute, but not for rare duels. No.
they had done it with... did they also do that with those Odyssey lands? Or am I misremembering?
I cannot remember.
Maybe
the
not.
Odyssey lands.
Maybe they didn't. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't think so. But oh well. What it is it's a land, it's a dual land of allied colors. So Black Cleave Cliffs is black and red. And Black Cleave Cliffs enters the battlefield tapped unless you control two or fewer other lands. That other is very important. Thank you, Brian.
Mike. I mean, I'd love to take the credit, but...
Okay, Mike. Excuse me. Thank you, somebody. Thank you, Dirk. So, I do agree with Brian. They do fortify the early turns, which are massively important. But then they are regular tap lands after that, which is less than impressive.
Correct.
Because these are so completely different from everything else that's ever, I really won't be able to tell what they are until I get a chance to play with them. But right now, I still like the M11 duels better.
Yeah, I probably do too. I'm going to reserve that judgment, but my initial inkling is that I like the M10 and M11 duels better also. Well, we're on lands. What have they done?
I know. It's...
What have they done?
The Dark Age is upon us.
The Dark Age of Casual is upon us, I'll tell you that.
Dude, I don't think you're kidding.
Okay. Glimmer Post. A land. A locus.
Now, if there's anybody out there who did not just go, then you don't know what you're dealing with here.
It's common.
In standard, these are going to be nothing. Less than nothing.
Well, no.
Okay, if you get out of
There are some weird decks that might, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
You will gain a total of 10 life if you play all four.
There are some weird decks that might like this. But anyway, it's a common, as Cloud Post was before it. When Glimmer Post enters the battlefield, you gain one life for each locus on the battlefield. Tap to add one to your mana pool. It comes into play untapped, gives you mana, gets you life, maybe two life. But in any group where someone has sets of Cloud Posts in a deck because they want to make a ridiculous ton of mana, congratulations. They now have four more locusts to put in their deck.
Cloud Post was a land. Did it come into play tapped?
It did.
It did.
Thank God. That says tap to add one to your mana pool for each locust in play, or each locust on the battlefield.
Yes.
And at the time, as far as one deck was concerned, it could only be four. Because if you had all four of your Glimmer Posts out, you had freaking, or Glimmer Posts, all four of your border, Cloud Posts out, that was freaking 16 mana, and
even then it was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, and people were playing Vesuva just to make one more, or four more. I mean, come on. Now you don't have to do that, you got Glimmer Posts. Now you can gain life and make a crap ton of mana at the same time. You guys watch Jeff Dunham?
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to be Walter. It was terrible. Usually that comes out much better.
It's not funny when he does it either, don't worry.
I always thought it was funny, like, the first time he did it in every special. About the third, fourth, fifth time, I was like, stop it! So, yeah, what have they done? Is it standard, extended, they don't care? I don't know if this would be something to come up in Legacy or not.
I don't know.
I can't call it. But as far as us, dark times are upon us, my friends. Because I've got a set of Cloud Posts, and you know I'm going to try to do something stupid with them because of Glimmer Posts, because it's a common!
Mm-hmm. I've got a set, and I think it's my... Is it my, Oh, crap, what are they called?
Yeah.
Elves.
No, not that one. And, the Arcbound deck. Because I still have the Arcbound deck. They're in my Arcbound deck, if I'm correct.
Modular?
Mm-hmm. Well, mine was specifically the Arcbound creatures, because they had the modular ability.
Yeah. So I just wanted to hit the lands first because of those two things. The cycle of rares and that freaking locust. Oh, my God.
Okay.
So we can jump to wherever now.
Well, why don't... I believe we saw in the course of other previews, we saw every mythic rare save one. Now, I don't know how far we got to last time, but I believe there's just one left. I know they were all spoiled until, except for this last one.
You got the advantage on me, because I don't know what it is.
Okay, well, let's count the mythics with me, will you? Because there's 15.
So you don't know what it is? You just brought it up?
No, I know what it is. Let's just go through it real quick. Start in the beginning. There's Elspeth. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's the Indomitable Angel.
Yep.
That's two.
Quicksilver Gargantuan.
Yep. And there should be... is there another blue one?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
It's kind of weird.
Pretty sure.
Quicksilver Gargantuan. Is that just... I mean, I guess it's big, but I'm like, it doesn't... Okay, all right.
Black has Geth and Scytherix, and that's it.
Okay, so that's how many? Five?
Four.
Sure.
Four?
You're right, five, because there was two, one, and two.
Right.
Koth, that's six.
Is there another red one?
Not that I see.
Nope.
All right, so that's six. And then...
Don't see a green one. Oh, here we go. The Liege of the Tangle.
That's seven.
Green ones. Yep. So the rest are in Artifact. And Vincer, okay. And the rest are in Artifact.
So that's eight, and then Artifacts. Still. So that leaves what, seven?
Still don't see one. I'm all the way in the eyes.
Lux Cannon.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Mindslaver.
The Masticore.
Masticore. Mox Opal.
Yeah.
Platinum Imperium.
You were right, Joey. The Lux Cannon was the one we didn't get to yet.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I just was making sure that there weren't any others.
So we missed.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Worm Coil Engine.
Right. So we've covered all of them except for the Lux Cannon.
Which is nuts.
Deluxe.
The Nuts Cannon.
All right. I'll take it. Unless somebody else is like, ooh.
Ooh, take it like a champ.
All right. This is the Lux Cannon. It costs 4. It's a mythic rare. It's an artifact. And this is very mythic, I feel like. You tap it,
yes.
And you put a charge counter on it. Okay. And then you can tap it and remove 3 charge counters from it to destroy target permanent.
Woohoo!
So that actually feels pretty fair for, you know, a colorless ability. It's not like it blows up the world or anything. It destroys one particular thing. And it, in theory, takes you 3 turns to get there. Although with Proliferate.
Hey, I said it!
Proliferate, you know, you can cheat with this sort of stuff. So there's lots of stuff you can do here. And then I love the flavor text.
There are few problems that can't be solved by putting a hole in the world. Followed by, I accidentally, the world.
So... yeah, it's not so crazy that you're gonna go, man, it's just unfair. But you know, the Johnny in me is like, make it unfair. And then certainly in Sealed, here's a hint: if you get one, you should play it because this is artifact, creature, enchantment, planeswalker. This is everything removal. The only things this doesn't kill are things that have Shroud. And instants and sorceries. And maybe an instant if you turn it into a creature. You know those instant creatures. It's like instant grits. Anyway, somebody else say something quick.
Something quick.
Another callback to making a ridiculous pair with something from the original Meriden block. The answer, of course, is Clock of Omens. Clock of Omens is ridiculous.
Remind us what Clock of Omens does. I know what it is, but remind us.
It costs 4, and it has one ability. Tap 2 untapped artifacts you control. Untap target artifact. Clock of Omens is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, but I thought we'd go ahead and hit that since we had covered all the other mythics. So now, anybody, things you saw that you were like, ooh, or you were like, eh. There's at least one thing I saw that I was like, really? Really? Eh.
What was it?
I can't remember. When I find it, I'll let you know. But when I was looking through here earlier, I was like,
go ahead.
I do really like Throne of Geth. Did we cover that one already?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
It is good, though.
We didn't?
I don't believe that we did.
I think we did.
I thought we did. Oh, Dirk thinks we did. It's over.
Why didn't we?
I didn't think we did. It's got a very basic ability.
I disagree. So.
I don't think we did.
Throne of Geth.
Yeah, we totally did.
Starts with a T.
Okay, well, I still like it, so.
Sweet. I like the, how the color aligns. Artifact creatures are very, very different from each other, rather than being just golems with different sizes and different abilities, like they were in the original Mirrodin.
Are you talking about the replicas?
No, like the Soliton, and the guy who gives First Strike, and the Glinthawk Idol, and the Wall of Tangle Golem.
As opposed to, like, the Tangle Golem
and
stuff. Yeah,
just a random-ass golems with color-activated abilities. Making them so different from each other adds a lot to them, I think. All the replicas are pretty great, by the way, too.
Yeah, the replicas are all pretty good. I like the new spell bombs.
Yes.
The flight spell bomb, or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called? Did I just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, flight spell
bomb. Oh, wow. I was like, what's it do? Flight. I think that's going to go... The ability to go pay one colorless and just out of nowhere go, oh, look, my big guy or my guy with infect has flying. And if I'm playing blue, you know, ooh, I get to draw a card. But, hey, you know, cheap evasion, one shot. It's better than jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And draw a card.
Yeah. It took me a minute to realize that... they don't have the same cost to activate. Like, there's one or two that want two mana and others that want one, and this one, mm-hmm. you don't have to have any mana.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
So let's see, the flight one gives a creature flying, you can draw a card. The horizon one tutors up a basic land, puts it in your hand, and draws your card if you so choose. The... Scrolling down. Can't remember what they're all called. Shut up. The Nile spell bomb. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You forgot the origin and the panic.
No, I'm doing it alphabetically.
Huh? Okay, then I missed the Nile.
Yeah, Nile spell bomb. Tap and sack. Cost one. Tap and sack. Exile all cards from target player's graveyard. Really? Really?
Really?
They're like, Dredge is never coming back, ever. And the origin, of course, gives you a 1-1 mirror, and panic, target creature can't block this turn. Which is probably the weakest one of them all.
In constructed.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Panic is still pretty decent and limited.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead, Dark.
Have you guys read Blunt the Assault?
I don't know. What color is it? Oh, the... Green? Yeah, the new fog?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty hot.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's not just a stupid fog. It's a stupid fog that actually does something.
I'll go ahead and read
Blunt
it.
Blunt the Assault.
Yeah. Blunt the Assault for 3 and a green. So, I mean, it's a little more expensive than a fog, but it's a common instant. You gain 1 life for each creature on the battlefield. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn. So if someone's coming at you with a stupid army, then you know you can be like, okay, I'm not taking any damage. Oh, and by the way, count up all your creatures, count up all my creatures. Oh, look, I'm back in the game again.
I guarantee exactly, a minimum of, let's say, 50% of the people listening to this show that are going to the pre-release of the launch are going to get burned by this card. Minimum of 50. I know I'm going to get burned by this card. I'm going to go, ha, and not realize that he's got 4 mana open. And then he's going to go, huh, and I'm going to go, aww. So, one more time, that's ha! Aww.
And then, after you've tapped everything for hopefully the coup de grace, he's going to come back. He's going to be back at full life. And then he's going to come around and he's going to put you on the defensive. And this card's going to potentially be one of those cards that does that rebound.
Oh, yeah. Burned. Sick burn!
No, there's no sick burn in this set.
Yeah, well, that's not my problem. Hey, look, they reprinted Shatter.
You know, I almost kind of expected them to not do that, just because... So I was surprised when they did.
Yeah. Ooh, while we're on cycles, I also like the Trigons. The Trigons are cool, and they are all triangles, which makes me happy.
Yes.
They all cost... No, they don't.
No, they don't.
So let's see. They cost some amount of colorless mana. They're all uncommon artifacts. They all enter the battlefield with 3 charge counters. You can tap 2 of the appropriate color and tap it to put a charge counter on it. and they all cost 2, tap, and remove a charge counter to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption, it's the black one, puts a -1/-1 counter on a creature. Infestation gives you a 1/1 green insect creature with infect. Mending, target player gains 3 life, which is going to burn a few people too. Rage is the red one, remove a charge counter. Target creature gets +3/+0 until end of turn.
That's a lot.
Sick burn. Do what?
I said that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. And the Trigon of Thought, 2 tap, remove a charge counter, draw a card. What? Oh, I'm dying.
But it does cost 5.
It does cost 5, which is the most expensive of them all, because that's nuts. You get 3 turns of a JMD tome for discount. Got some JMD Cliff Notes.
I remember we were talking a while ago about cards that may or may not be as impressive. I remember the card that I saw that I was like, for that cost, and it's Instill Infection. It's a black card. It's a common, but it costs 4. It costs 3 and a black. And it's put a -1/-1 counter on target creature, draw a card.
Yeah, it's not good enough at 4.
Yeah.
It depends on how much proliferate they're... Well, thinking in limited standpoint, it depends on how much proliferate you get.
Yeah, but even still, all proliferates cost something, except for the Thrum Hunter. You still have to pay some cost, so you're paying 4... and then some other cost to proliferate on top of that to take down anything of any size. So
it's also, I mean, I haven't taken a real close look at the creatures, but if there's lots of little dudes that are important, Instill Infection will be worth playing. I don't know if there are a bunch of little dudes that are worth playing, but because I haven't looked that closely, like I said, but it's possible that it'll be worth playing even though it costs 4.
There's some little dudes.
Because it's got the magic words on the bottom. Vidalkin research notes. No, wait. Draw a card.
Possibly, but it's definitely not a standout.
No, not by any means.
Well, I was looking through green. And
really?
What a surprise.
I know, go figure. And actually, something very surprising has shown up. There's only one... There's... one card that destroys artifacts in green.
Really?
There's a couple things that give you protection from artifacts, but there's only one thing that destroys it, and that's Slice and Twine. For 4.
Oh, it's okay, Slice. Okay. You said that with a strange accent. What is that again, Dirk?
Slice and Twine for 2/2 green, which is pretty expensive for artifact control in green.
He actually pronounces it that way. That's interesting.
What?
I would have said Slice and Twain.
Slice and Twine.
Like Mark Twain.
Yeah, like, well, I was, well.
Or
I was thinking from Robin Hood Men in Tights. A split Robin Zorro in Twain! You know. What was that, Mike?
I said, or Mark Twain.
Well, technically, although it's an artifact, the
Silvok Replica.
Silvok Replica costs a green and sacrifice 2, naturalize. But, yeah, wow. That's important to know. Because green in Mirrodin last time around was like, okay, we got, you know, we've got the one with Entwine, and we've got the Destroyed Artifact.
There was...
But that was later. But just in Mirrodin. That was in Dark Steel or Fifth Dawn. But... there's Molder Slug. They were all about. There was the Thrum of the something or something where you have to sacrifice all. Each player has to sacrifice. Thank you. So that's a good point. Dark. Count on Dark with the insight once again.
And like I said, there. I was only looking, and I only found. I think it was 2 creatures in green that actually have protection. Well, not creatures, because I found instant, and I think the other one was an instant also. So really, there aren't anything in green that's really protection from artifacts.
Thank goodness, because I really hated that about green and Mirrodin.
It feels
artifacts, God.
It feels like this set is lighter on the overt artifact destruction hate than old Meriden block was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's still plenty of stuff that'll kill some artifacts and kill some artifact creatures, but...
It doesn't also seem like... The one thing that was interesting about Meriden block, but we ended up hating later, is that it was very, very heavy artifacts. And so you wouldn't get anything in colors that was actually worth playing almost. And this at least with this one, I mean there is good stuff in the colors. You know, artifact obviously it's still going to be, you want to play artifacts in this block, and there's really good artifact stuff. But it's also
there's good stuff that stands on its own, is what you're saying.
Right. I mean, you could actually run colors and, you know, be able to do stuff with the colors, as opposed to just throw any color in and be like, oh, land, okay, this allows me to play this. I mean, Meriden block felt like that you could essentially play a 5-color deck and it wouldn't really matter because the colors didn't do you any good, seeing as you could, you know, you could just be like, just grab a whole bunch of lands, okay, here's my deck. Whereas this, actually, you have to gauge which colors you're going to go with. So there is still going to be some mana tweaking.
And you know what? In draft, it was either you're playing heavy artifacts or you're playing, before Fifth Dawn came out and everybody tried to do the Sunburst thing, it was either you're playing artifacts or you're playing green.
Yeah.
Am I remembering this correctly?
Yeah, because green had the good creatures.
And all the artifact hate.
Yeah, as opposed to the other colors, which are like... Hey,
you guys.
So I think everything else is also going to be, you know, able to stand on its own. And really, I mean, looking at green, I scroll down to the bottom. Withstand death. That's pretty cool. Wing puncture. That's awesome. Scroll up. Untamed might. A giant growth for X and a green at common. Target creature gets +X/+X until end of turn. Scroll up. Tangle angler. That's good. Scroll up. Putrefacts. That's good. Scroll up. I mean, it's not just a bunch of artifact-related nonsense like it was in Meriden.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me so happy.
A card that interested me, if we're going to move on.
We're not really moving on. We're just kind of jumping around.
Yeah, we're not really going anywhere in particular.
Well, we were talking about artifacts and their prevalence and not. A card that I saw... And I read the name of it, and I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I read what it did, and I'm like, wait a second. And then I kept reading, and I'm like, wait a second. Asceticism.
I was just looking at that.
Yeah.
That's a great card.
Well, I don't know how I feel about it. It has the potential to be very annoying. So, you know, troll.
I'm aroused by this card.
You know, troll ascetic. There are no trolls. I didn't realize that until I read this card, and I read the flavor text. There are no trolls in this set. Apparently they're all gone, but, well, Troll Aesthetic, Troll Aesthetic was great and was amazing. And how would you love every card to be Troll Aesthetic? For 3 and a green, it's an enchantment. It's rare. It better be.
Three and two green.
Man, if it was common. No. creatures you control can't be the targets of spells or abilities your opponents control, and pay 1 and a green, regenerate target creature. They're all troll aesthetics. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. It's going to be really annoying when, you know, you're like, you're holding on to some removal and they play like 2 early creatures and you're like, I'm not going to burn those out. I'm going to wait for something big and wait to, you know, destroy it. And then they play asceticism and you're like, my hand doesn't do anything now. But luckily the regenerating actually doesn't matter as much with all this infest running around. And another card I wanted to talk about real quick was Withstand Death, which honestly does not seem as good as Giant Growth. when you compare combat tricks. Both are probably going to save you a creature, but giant growth is, it stands a better chance of actually taking out an opponent's creature. Also, without with infect in the set, it doesn't seem quite as strong.
With infect in the set, defensively, withstand death and giant growth aren't much different, except giant growth makes a creature live until the end of the turn instead of dying right now. But
that's true.
If there was giant growth in this set, it'd be kind of silly alongside infect to add plus three poison for just a green mana.
Yeah.
That's why I have Untamed Might instead.
Right, right. Which is more mana intensive. So, let's see. Things that aren't green.
Speaking of poison, Tainted Strike is going to make you die at some point over the next couple weeks.
What is?
Tainted Strike. The common black instant.
Oh,
one
yeah.
Black. Target creature gets +1/+0 and gains infect until end of turn.
Yeah.
Well, let me break it up for just a second and
break
point
it
out
with a green card?
One called Razorfield Thresher.
What color is that?
It's an artifact.
It's an artifact. And it has nothing special except I love the
thing
it takes for it. It says, danger! Keep appendages clear of front of machine, and rear of machine, and side of machine, and top of machine.
Yeah, I love that.
I read this card, and the word danger is in large caps, and it's right there. I'm reading this card, and as I'm just like glancing down it, I literally read the word danger, and I'm like, is that a keyword? And I'm like,
take note, wizards. You should have a card type that's called Danger. Or some sort of activated ability or something of that sort.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but during the normal like previews that they were revealing until they showed us everything in the visual squad, I felt like red was kind of getting the short end of the stick. Not as far as quality. Because we got like Koth and whatnot, but quantity wise, and there's some interesting stuff here. I like the Bloodshot Trainee because it was in Future Sight,
yeah.
And now it's back.
And just think how strong he'll be if his arms don't tear off.
Cerebral Eruption is kind of interesting. It makes my head hurt.
I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, if you whiff and hit a land, it goes back to... Oh, that's awesome. Okay,
yeah.
Cerebral Eruption, 2 red, rare sorcery. Target opponent reveals the top card of his or her library. Cerebral Eruption deals damage equal to the revealed card's converted mana cost to that player and each creature he or she controls. If a land card is revealed this way, return Cerebral Eruption to its owner's hand. So if you whiff, it's a temporary whiff.
Yeah, it's a whiff that costs you 4,
to
get but...
Later,
yeah.
But... That's so cool.
Yeah. Are you tired of always losing to Emrakul? Well, not anymore.
See, I like the first two cards in red. The Arc Trail, for 1 and a red, it's a sorcery, uncommon. Deals 2 damage to target creature or player, and 1 damage to another target creature or player. See, that's cool.
Yeah.
And the Assault Strobe. For a single red at sorcery speed, target creature gains double strike until end of turn. Ah!
Yeah.
A single red? That seems a bit cheap. Although yeah. I guess sorcery speed makes a difference.
Yeah, even though it's sorcery speed and you get the like, oh, here it comes effect, at least it's not, at least it doesn't cost 6 at sorcery speed.
Yeah
really.
Mm-hmm.
One of the red cards that actually had me most excited when I actually really realized what it could do was the Ogre Gear Grabber. It costs 4 and 2 red. It's an Ogre Warrior. It's an uncommon, and it's a 4/4. Now, whenever it attacks, gain control of target equipment and opponent controls until end of turn. Attach it to Ogre Gear Grabber. When you lose control of that equipment, unattach it. So I attack with him, and I go ahead and equip your let's say locks on, well, that's almost too crazy. But let's just
Dark Steel Axe.
Well, not only is my guy bigger now, but even when you get it back, you have to once again pay the equip cost. So I kind of, the resource manager in me says, you play this guy, you get a 4-4, and then every turn, if the opponent has any equipment, you get the equipment for the turn for free, and you're not spending any additional mana for that. Also, if it's an equipment that has some sort of effect other than, you know, just pumping power or toughness, like if it has some sort of utility, nothing says, because you gain control of it until the turn, you can actually move it to another creature you control if you want.
Yeah.
And then, one of the things that I saw and I'm like, ooh, combo-rific within the set is the heavy something.
Arbalest.
Heavy Arbalest. Mike, what's the Heavy Arbalest?
The Heavy, I'm not looking at it actually. Let me page over to that page.
Okay, well the Heavy Arbalest then, costs 3. It's an artifact, it's equipment, and it's an uncommon. The equipped creature does not untap during its controller's untap step. But it only has that effect if it's equipped during the untap step. And equipped creature has tap. This creature deals 2 damage to target creature or player. So I could, if you've got a heavy Arbalest, and keep in mind it's kind of a combo, but it's more, you have to, you know, sneak it into your opponent's deck or something. But you attack with your guy, you grab their Arbalest, you move it over to the other guy, you tap it to deal 2 damage to something, and then they get it back. Well, you get to untap your guy as usual. It's a bit clunky, but it's not too bad for synergy.
Well, that'll be great if your opponent has one. You'd be like, ha! I really like... I like Infiltration Lens, but not enough to really comment on it.
Oh, it's great.
I like it. I don't think it's nuts.
Well, in a set full of infect creatures, it's pretty nuts.
Do we want to take a quick second and run down... the equipment, just real fast. There's the Accorder Shield, which pumps toughness and gives a vigilance.
And it's free.
And it costs 0 to play.
It costs 0 to play, but 3 to equip. There's the Argentum Armor, which is all sorts of rare. And Argentum means something within the Magic universe. I think it's a very rare substance.
No, it was the old name of Mirrodin when Karn first made it.
That's right. I knew it had some significance.
I thought it was Argentum.
It depends on who you ask.
That's true.
Costs 6 to play and has an equip of 6, but the equipped creature gets 6/6/6. And whenever it attacks, destroy target permanent. That's pretty crazy.
That is nuts.
So it becomes the devil.
That actually does look like the devil's face.
It sort of does, yeah.
The barbed battle gear.
It's pretty cool.
+4/-1.
Wait a minute, +4/-1. Why does that sound familiar?
There was a flash aura in Ravnica that did that.
A black one, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Okay. Can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I can't either. Clinging something?
Clinging darkness?
That sounds right.
I don't know.
If that's right, we're amazing. If it's not right, then please ignore. Bladed Pinions gives a creature flying and first strike.
Seems pretty good. Fairly good synergy.
Yeah. And for 2 to play and 2 to equip, flying and first strike. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I keep thinking Contagion Clasp is an equipment, just because of the name.
When I mentioned the Throne of Geth before, I think I was actually thinking of the Culling Dace. Dais.
How do you pronounce that?
Deus, I guess.
Deus. As far as what I like, but that's not an equipment. There's the Darksteel Axe.
And my
What were you about to say there? Did we catch what?
Did you guys catch, was it the Echo Circus circlet?
No, we're not there yet.
We're not down that far yet.
Okay.
And then there's Echo Circlet.
Yes. Which... I don't know how I feel about that. It reminds me of Ninja Gaiden 2, the Shadow Clone.
What's you block another creature?
It's cool, though. That isn't an ability that shows up at all.
Mm-hmm. Like, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now anyone can have it.
It is Deus.
Okay.
Deus. I also like the Glint Hawk idol, but again, that's not a, when...
Mike, stop touching your cord.
The graphic exoskeleton is crazy.
I don't believe they did that.
I saw this and I first thought of Grafted War Gear, and then I was like, hey, and then I was like, wow, this is crazy. For four, and an equip cost of two, equip creature gets +2/+2 and has infect. And then whenever it becomes unattached from a permanent, sacrifice that permanent.
I don't know. I just see it being very rare that you would ever want to take it off unless you're about to win right there.
No, you, yeah. Now, quick, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Infect does not,
stack.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how I knew that, but...
is not cumulative.
Yeah, right. Correct, just like Wither.
Okay. Heavy Arbalest, we've mentioned. Infiltration Lens, whenever a creature becomes blocked by a creature, you may draw two cards. It costs one and equip of one.
I like the cheapness there.
Yes. That's great.
You don't stick it on something they're just going to let through anyway. You have to stick it on something they either have to block or want to block, like something with infect.
I love the Livewire Lash.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Equipped creature. It costs two to play, two to equip. It's a rare. Equipped creature gets +2/+0 and has... Whenever this creature becomes the target of a spell, this creature deals 2 damage to target creature or player. It's like, ha! You looking at me? You know.
And it's not that spell or abilities controller either. So you can, every time you throw an additional equipment on that person.
No, spell.
Okay. Well, you
not
can.
Spell or ability.
Okay, but you can. The giant growth with X, you pump this thing. You do whatever, and then you can then hurt somebody else.
And that's always fun. We're all about hurting people here on the Mana Pool.
Mindslaver kind of equips to a player.
I'm not sure about the Nim Death Mantle.
I don't know how I feel about that either.
It's really weird.
Yeah,
but
it's really weird.
It does give evasion. Now, granted, it gives you evasion in an artifact-heavy block, and it makes it into a black zombie, so it more or less gives it fear. But the ability to then maybe get something else... Oh, but it's only your graveyard.
But hey.
Okay, read it.
Since I've pretty much read the whole thing. Nim Death Mantle, equipment, it costs 2 to play, 4 to equip, and it's a rare. Equipped creature gets +2/+2, has intimidate, and is a black zombie. Whenever a non-token creature is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, you may pay 4. If you do, return that card to the battlefield and attach Nim Death Mantle to it. I guess if you put it on one creature, when that creature dies, because it doesn't say another creature, you can just make sure it never stays dead, as long as you have 4 mana open.
Yeah, essentially, and it's the same as the equip cost, so essentially you're just equipping it to that guy who just died.
Yeah.
But that, so, like, if you've got it on one guy, like, let's say you have out a Perilous Mirror, a 1/1 for 2 that when it's put into the graveyard from the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to target creature or player, and you keep 4 mana open, and you just, every time it dies, you just bring it back.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of equipment.
One thing I wanted to say before we left the Livewire Lash is that you can put it on someone with effect and start whipping poison onto the other player as you target it.
Oh, that's so cool.
That gives the ability to the creature itself?
Yeah, the creature does the damage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it says this creature has.
And it also pumps power, too, so. Oof.
So the next one up is the Strata Scythe. When it enters, it has imprint. 3 to play, 3 to equip. Rare. When Strata Scythe enters the battlefield, search your library for a land card, exile it, and shuffle your library. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each land on the battlefield with the same name as the exiled card.
Not that you control.
Oh, wow. On the battlefield? I missed that, too.
That's really important.
Yeah.
In multiplayer, that's, this guy is gonna, this is, wow.
Sweet.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. Strider Harness. +1/+1 and haste. Yeah. Three to play, but one to equip, which is nice. And you know, like, the things like Lightning Greaves, they give haste that costs some mana to play, but then little or no mana to equip are great. Sword of Body and Mind. Yeah. Silvok Life Staff.
I really like the Silvok Life Staff, especially since it's common, so you can play multiples.
You know, me too, and I can't really place why, because it's not that good. I just really like it.
Well, tell them what it does, somebody that likes it.
It makes your opponent kind of reluctant to start killing the creatures you are piling it on. It costs one to play, one to equip. It's common, and the equipped creature gets +1/+0. Whenever the equipped creature is put into a graveyard, you gain 3 life. It's just really nice.
So it's not that it's that good, I just really like it.
You could always, you know, get some tokens out and put this on a token and then sack a token to some other effect and gain some life and block and yada yada. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, that's a lot of equipment.
That is a lot of equipment, which is to be expected, I guess, from going back to the plane that first spawned equipment.
Yep.
Ooh, look, they printed an anti-landfall card.
What's that?
Tunnel Ignis in red.
Oh, yes. This could be important.
It could be. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, if that player had another land enter the battlefield under his or her control this turn, Tunnel Ignis deals 3 damage to that player. So it's a 2/1/2 rare elemental. I just think that's pretty funny.
Screw you, Zendikar fetch lands.
Right in the face.
The card right beside it, Turn to Slag, I really like. For 2 red and 3, it's a sorcery. It's common. It deals 5 damage to target creature, and then you destroy all equipment attached to that creature.
Yeah. I'm going to nuke your guy and take out the things equipped to it. Dirk, have you seen anything in a while that you like? Or that caught your eye? Maybe that you didn't like?
No, but the one thing that I did see that that just makes me shudder a little bit. Do you guys remember the towers?
Yes.
Thomas, there is a tower again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, this tower is not so bad.
It always struck me that there were 4 towers before. That just didn't feel quite right to me.
Well, I must have uncovered the 5th one.
Yeah, what's it do, Dirk?
It's Tower of Calamities for 4, which actually isn't bad. It's a rare artifact. 8 and tap. Tower of Calamities deals 12 damage to target creature.
Before there were the Tower of Champions, which made the creature bigger, but by +6/+6, the Tower of Eons to gain life, Tower of Fortunes to draw cards, and Tower of Murmurs to mill. Mm-hmm. And now we have the one to blow something up. That's 1 point shy of a Shivan Meteor.
But still, to deal that 12 damage, you have to have 8 mana just laying around.
Well, that's what the towers do. Is they come down at 4, and then when you have 8, you can activate them. They all work that way. But if you get up to 8 mana and you have this out, you should never be troubled by creatures. At least not one creature. Don't come at me with more than one creature. Oh, no.
I could actually see Thomas replacing Aladdin's Ring in his Towers deck with Tower of Calamities. Because I think it's easier for him to kill a player with Tower of Murmurs anyway. With the way he has it set up.
Hmm. So, you remember when we were saying, I wonder if there'll be an Atog in this set?
Yeah.
There sort of is. The Ferrovor.
Yeah, sort of.
sort of, in red. For two and a red, it's a 2-2 beast. Pay a red second artifact. It gets +3/+0 until end of turn. Have you noticed that there have been a handful of little dudes in red who can pump their power and do something stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiln Fiend, the Spitfire, Faravor,
The Gavalier.
The Gavalier. He's kind of dumb already.
Ford Smelter Dragon.
He's also kind of dumb.
Wow.
Oh, no, he's not. Never mind.
Yeah, he's kind of awesome.
The Spike
he's
Shot
kind of,
Elder.
Kind of awesome.
I like Spike Shot Elder a lot.
Spike Shot Elder is crazy.
For one red.
He's going to kill a lot of people.
In the forums, they were like, they linked to this picture, and then someone said, it might have been Bill or Ben, said, oh dear God, what if there's some sort of enchantment that gives a creature infect? What have they done? And then they showed the grafted whatever.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, God, here it is.
Yeah.
Are you going to die?
Spike Shot Elder costs one red and is a goblin shaman, and he's rare. He's not a common goblin shaman, thank God. but he's a 1-1. You can pay one and two red. Does not require tapping. Spikeshot Elder deals damage equal to its power to target creature or player. Now, without even anything else to pump, that's at least decent. You can run him out early. It doesn't require tapping. You can maybe pick off some small guys. Basically works kind of like a Cunning Spark Mage, because if you play him later, you can go ahead and use the ability. Later in the game, you can use it more than once. But if you make him bigger, it gets crazy. There's a huge difference between repeatable one damage and repeatable two or more damage.
Oh, and when he says huge, he means huge.
Yeah.
Like a big difference between one and two.
The heavy thing, the heavy crossbow thing, you know, lets you is fairly expensive to play, has the downside of keeping the thing that uses it tapped down for a turn, and is two instead of one. It deals two damage instead of one, so...
Oh, dude, they printed a new card for my Unblockable Wizard deck.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
I saw that.
The Nurok Invisimancer. It's because it's unblockable. It's a 2-1. It's a wizard. And when it enters the battlefield, target creature is unblockable this turn.
I love this card because all you have to even do is read the name, and you automatically have some idea of what it does.
Yeah, the Invisimancer. It's either going to give Shroud... or it's going to make something unblockable.
Yeah. I suppose it's worth mentioning they reprinted Dispersed. It seems like every color has a reprint, or close to every color. White has Arrest. Blue has Disperse, and the Trinket Mage, of course.
They have been doing that over the past year or couple of years. They haven't been shy about including reprint commons where they make sense.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Well, because why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Argent Sphinx. It costs two and two blue. It's a rare Sphinx. It's a 4/3 with flying. Metalcraft. Pay a blue. Exile Argent Sphinx. Return it to the battlefield under your control at the beginning of the next end step. Activate this ability only if you control three or more artifacts. This is great because, you know, it can block infect guys all day long and either kill them or, you know, if it would kill him, just block and then at the end of the declare blocker step, go ahead and phase him out, so to speak, or attack. He's so hard to kill. Patrick Chapin previewed this on Starseed Games, and he wrote a great article about this and the strengths and weaknesses and why a control player really likes this. And so I recommend going that for a more exhaustive look, but I think it's pretty cool.
I really like the Black Cleave Goblin too, because it's an infect guy with two power with haste.
Mm.
Even though he costs four, I don't care. He's infect and haste for more than one power.
Where is he black?
Black. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Black Cleave, yeah.
Right beside him, the Bleak Coven Vampires, I think, are really good.
They're pretty cool, too.
Yeah, for five, you get a 4/3, but with Metalcraft, they drain for four when they come into battle.
I don't think we had covered the Demon last time. I really like him. For six, he's a 6/6. Yes, yes, yes. For four and two black, 6/6 demon, rare, flying. Sounds great. Comes in with two -1/-1 counters. You can pay a black and remove a -1/-1 counter from him to put a -1/-1 counter on another creature.
On each other creature. On,
yeah, each.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Learn to read. I really thought, I this is one of these things where I start reading the card and I automatically start saying, oh, I know how this works. Holy cow, that's, wow, I didn't realize that. I might have to stop. Wow. You guys go on without me. I'm going to have to sit here for a sec.
I'll be in my bunk.
Man down, man down.
When I, when you stop and think about it, like, the art for Inexorable Tide is just really freaky. Because you get the feeling like these two guys on the ridge in the foreground, like, just came over the top of that ridge, and they're seeing this happening. Like it ain't no thing.
Oh, those two guys, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, what? I like Inexorable Tide. I can see that being a centerpiece of some random-ass counter deck.
Oh, yeah.
Like casual style. Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I like Proliferate a lot more than I like Infect. And that's just me personally.
Oh, yeah.
So I see this doing some crazy things. And I love that it's not legendary.
Okay, I'm better. Sorry, there was that moment of realization.
Glad to provide you today's moment of realization.
I really like Painful Quandary, too.
Yeah.
Tell us what it does.
For 3BB, it's a rare enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, that player loses 5 life unless he or she discards a card. And presumably loses 2 life due to my Liliana's Caress at the same time. For each word spoken, one forgotten. For each thought, a memory rotten. Moriok Incantation.
Hey, that's awesome.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, hello. Everybody, it got really quiet. I was like, guys? Okay, we haven't actually touched white yet. Was there anything in white?
No, we've kind of ignored that.
Dispense Justice is awesome.
So good.
Take it, Mike.
I loved playing with Winged Shards. I still love playing with Winged Shards, and I'm going to love playing with this. Dispense Justice costs a white and 2 for an instant. It's uncommon, and target player sacrifices an attacking creature. If you have Metalcraft, instead they sacrifice 2 attacking creatures.
Another card you will get burned by.
Yes.
This burn will probably be worse than Blunt the Assault, just so you know.
Glimmer Point Stag is really cool. A 3/3 with Vigilance for 4, and when he enters the battlefield, you get to blink something.
Mm-hmm. I like the prevalence of blinking stuff in this set.
Yeah. It's really good for resetting charge counters.
What is a Fulgent Distraction? Fulgent. I'm going to look that up.
I can't remember what that really means.
Well, I have dictionary.com right here. Fulgent. And Fulgent says... Shining brightly, dazzling, resplendent. Weak. Too easy. I don't like this card anymore.
Oh.
Although it is an instant, so that's nice. Tap. Choose 2 target creatures. Tap those creatures. Then unattach all equipment from them. For 2 and a white.
Flashbang them and they drop all their gear.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, too. Anybody playing that's played Call of Duty knows that can happen. I love the name on Revoke Existence. No.
The flavor text is awesome.
Oh, it is. I didn't read it until just now. Take it, Mike.
No half measures. No regrets. will tell no stories of this day. It will be as if it never existed at all. That's from Ganador, a Luxodon mystic.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
CZ Initiative has a dumb name, but it's a pretty good card.
Yeah, it's okay.
Art is goofy.
I just don't like it at all, really. Just nothing about it. Not even, like, the hot cat chick's boobs. Just none of that. Just nothing's doing it for her. She needs to eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not much to eat out on the plains for the razor field, but still.
Some meat on them bones.
I like Soul Parry just because for one and a white, it's an instant. Prevent all damage one or two target creatures would deal this turn. What?
Well, if it said... I guess they didn't want to say up to because they didn't want you to do it for zero for some reason. I don't know.
Weird.
Anything else really strike anybody's eyes?
Now that I've finally gone to look at white and blue, I'm sort of running out.
Yeah. I mean, we could go over every single one, but this is...
Hey, that's dumb.
Yeah. Is Turn Aside a reprint? It looks so simple.
It's a functional reprint of another card. Well, maybe. Maybe the other
white
card. Yeah, I think you're right.
Gatherer. That targets a... Is it that targets a permanent you control?
Yeah.
Search. Avoid fate, not of this world. Yep, rebuff the wicked.
Okay.
Ha! Guess what set rebuff the wicked was from?
Was it from Future Sight?
No, it was from Planar Chaos.
Oh.
They color shifted a card that didn't exist yet. Ah!
Was it a color shifted Planar Chaos card?
No.
It was
just a Planar Chaos card, but it was in white. Now it's in blue where it's supposed to be. That's why it sounds familiar, B. I like the Sky Eel School.
Yeah.
A 3/3 flying for 5 mana, 2 of which are blue, and when it enters the battlefield, you loot once, draw a card, then discard a card. I don't know why, that's just really cool.
Oxida Daredevil isn't all that great, but he has the awesome Ratfink arc.
Awesome what arc?
Ratfink.
Ratfink.
Yeah, you know the Ratfink graphic.
I do?
Yeah, that crazy green rat thing with the buggy eyes and the tongue, and he's driving a weird car.
Okay, I googled it, and I sort of kind of recognize it, but yeah, not really.
I know you've seen it before.
Wait, I just googled it, and I see it, and like I said, I sort of kind of recognize it, but not really.
Well,
take your word. I suck.
Look at him.
He does have the Ratfink look going. I love the way that the art and the flavor text go together. His goggles spattered with grime and his mouth full of bugs, he tossed the engines another priceless relic, because you sack an artifact to give him haste until end of turn. Which is really dumb.
He's driving this crazy rocket sled.
Yeah. I just, I didn't say this before, but I was thinking it. I love the flavor of the Ogre Gear Grabber.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, runs up, give me that, and he hits you with it, and then he drops it and runs off. Ha! Ah, look, something shiny.
I really like the Barrage Ogre. He throws artifacts for 2 damage.
The elves had devised countless strategies to combat Memnarch's war machines, but they had no idea what to do when one was thrown at them. It's cold. Huh.
Blade Tribe Berserkers is awesome.
Yeah, but only the first turn.
Well, usually things like that, you got to sacrifice them at the end of the turn you play them. You don't do that.
That
with
is
this
a
guy.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to keep a hill giant.
So for three and a red, it's a 3/3. Big whoop. It's a common, even. But it has Metalcraft. When Blade Tribe Berserkers enters the battlefield, if you control three or more artifacts, it gets +3/+3 and gains haste until end of turn. So if you have enough artifacts out, you go, Blast Wake for 6! And then, like Mike said, you have a hill giant left over. So, okay, I'll give you that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because I play a hill giant. I mean, you know.
I don't think I'd play with Flameborn Hellion, though. Maybe in Limited, but not anywhere else.
Well, I mean, if I've got one in my sealed pool and I'm playing red, I'll probably throw it in because it's a big 5-power hasty dude. But other than that, yeah. Attacks each turn if able. For 6. At least he has haste. Did I cover it all? And he's a 5/4. There.
Yeah.
At common. Alexei Bricklow.
What's his collector number? I can't read it. I said I can't read his collector number.
Yeah, I can't either. But bad-ass art. Okay, I think we're probably done here, aren't we?
Yeah, it sounds like we're reaching
I think
out
so.
To keep the conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Look, Melt Terrain.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted.
I get the feeling there was one more thing that had caught my attention earlier.
There's always going to be one more thing.
But, of course, if I can't remember right now, it's must not have been all that sweet. Oh, the Golem Artisan.
What does that do?
He's a Golem. He costs 5 for a 3/3. He's uncommon. You could pay 2. Target artifact creature gets +1/+1 until end of a turn. You could also pay 2. Target artifact creature gains your choice of flying, trample, or haste until end of turn.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's finally up for me.
What color is that?
It's an artifact.
Oh, no wonder I can't. Hey, dummy.
It is a
look gold. At all these artifacts that I have not looked at all. Hang on.
There's like a million of them.
I feel the need, if I'm going to talk about one more, it's going to be the Glint. Like the Glint Hawk, but it's the Glint Hawk idol. It makes a Glint Hawk.
It does.
Glint Hawk, we talked about before, you know, costs 1 white. It's a 2/2 flyer that when it comes into play, sacrifice it or return an artifact you control to your hand, to its owner's hand. This thing, for 2 mana, is an artifact that just sits there, and whenever another artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you may have it become a 2/2 artifact creature with flying until end of turn, or at any time you can pay a white. And it becomes a 2/2 artifact creature with flying until end of turn. And it's a common.
Oh, Lord, this guy's common. Ah.
That's crazy. Don't attack into it. Just don't do it.
Holy crap, it's common. My brain put a silver symbol there.
Yeah, me too. I think because everything else about the card is so unapologetically silver.
So, I think everybody today has had a wait, that card says what again? Moment.
Scrolling through the artifacts real quick. Rustic is dumb.
But you're gonna hate it.
I already hate it. I can tell. It's gonna piss me off. I do like that the Soliton is half of the Gemini engine.
Yeah.
I saw the head, and I was like, that looks like a Gemini engine. And then I read the flavor text, and I was like, oh my god. That's pretty awesome. I'm getting nothing else in artifacts. It's Trigons. I did look at some of them. I like the random little infect dudes just scattered throughout the set.
Yeah.
So what's the pre-release card? Is it the Wormcoil engine?
It is a Wormcoil
engine. It is.
Holy crap.
Everybody gets an alternate art shiny Wormcoil engine. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they don't give out horribly narrow promo cards anymore. Like, Feral Throwback has been sitting in my binder forever.
And ever.
I think for a while I tried to force him into a deck, but nah, he came out of there.
All right then, so, final thoughts then? Mike?
Final thoughts. This is really different than anything that's happened before, and I really look forward to getting a chance to mess around with it Saturday. It's
gonna come in here?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I haven't heard anything from anybody else. Dude, one of us should try to get in touch with Bill or something.
I'm not really sure if I'll be able to go.
Word? We have a life and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I, however, do not. Except for work and podcasting. And since I've told them I won't be working and we won't be podcasting, I guess I'll go to the pre-release. Unless I get company. I don't know what to do about that. I'll figure that out later.
Oh, that might still happen?
It's possible. Yeah. It's not very probable, but it is possible.
Hmm.
I guess I'll swing by and get some cards and, well, drop me. Because it's too good to pass up a worm coil engine.
Oh, yeah. See you guys later.
Yeah. But, like I said, that's not very probable. And, oh my god, Bill sent me a link earlier, just to randomly break into something. It's Calvin and Hobbes, but it's Calvin and Hobbes, instead of being in his wagon, it's Calvin and Hobbes sitting on top of a Millennium Falcon. It has a little handle like his wagon, and Calvin is Han Solo, and Hobbes is Chewbacca, and it is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it's just a link to a picture, like... There's no order this shirt, or I would own it right now.
You put it on your wall on Facebook.
Check this out, you guys. Control V, enter.
Control V, enter. Website found. Waiting for reply.
That's dumb.
Oh, that is awesome.
Isn't that great?
Wow. It says t-shirt.
Ah, here we go. It's for sale on Redbubble. The hell is Redbubble? Hey, Brian, you still here?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the shirt?
I remember.
Hasn't even bothered to click the shirt. Isn't that terrible? That's terrible.
I am terrible.
Everything is terrible.
That's pretty cool.
I'm destroying
That's your... pretty cool.
Burp. Pardon me. Okay, then. Anybody else? Final thoughts? Who's next? Dirk?
I've got none.
Yes.
We've done a very good job, so I've got none.
How about Brian?
I'm feeling better about the set than I was before, having seen literally all of it, and I think it could be a very interesting limited environment. I will see if I'm able to go on Saturday, but I have to see if I'm going to be working, and then also trying to make sure that everything is getting ready for Samantha, because due date is about a month away now, and whether you knew it or not, now you know, less than 5% of all babies are actually born on the due date. So,
the due date is more of a guesstimate.
Yeah. So,
something to aim for, just in case.
I was actually born almost a month early at normal weight,
with a huge mouth.
Yeah, and a big old head.
That's not surprising.
Holy crap, you guys. Mike has a huge mouth. Mike, give them the evidence that you gave me to show that you have a huge mouth.
My wisdom teeth grew in straight. I'm never going to have them taken out.
Wow.
There's enough room for them in my jaw.
Yeah, when I was choking on a piece of sushi that was way too big for my mouth, I spit it out and almost choked to death. And Mike takes the other one and goes, and just shoves it in his mouth and eats it. And I was like, what? That's what he off a big mouth. It was
So, but yeah, we're just trying to make sure everything's ready, and Carrie's trying, we're both trying to get things ready. She's trying to make sure her work is taken care of, so when she heads out, she'll be all right, and they'll be all right without her. And I'm trying to get the house ready. We've got the crib, and I have ordered other pieces of furniture, so hopefully they'll be getting here soon. So I hope to go, and if not, then oh well. But probably not after that. Probably not going to be doing any sort of magic tournaments for a while anyway, so we'll have to see. That's it.
Well, alrighty then. I'm trying to think if I actually have anything to say. And I always have something to say, but I've said enough irrelevant nonsense this week. I'm trying to think of something irrelevant to say. I am coming up short on irrelevance. So I'll just say something random. So, Scott and I, after we got done playing the dual decks, which was a lot of fun, we had an incident with a cricket in the house. He stood up, he's like, well, I guess I'll roll then. And he got, his eyes got real big, and if you've seen Scott, Scott's eyes are huge. His eyes got real big, and then they squinted, and he leaned forward and looked in the hallway, and my brain said, oh, God, there's a giant spider. And I turned and looked, and no, it was a big-ass cricket. I was like, who the hell let a cricket in my apartment? So I said, oh, okay. And I put my shoe on, and I stepped over it, and I went, wait a minute, I can't kill a cricket. It's just a cricket. It's not like it's a spider and is an unholy spawn of Satan and deserves to die. It's just a cricket. And Scott goes, oh, well, let it outside. And I looked at it. I said, how the hell do I get a cricket outside? I was like, I don't know. And sitting right there was a cup, a styrofoam cup that I had had a to-go drink in, and it was now empty, and I'd eaten all the ice. And I said, hey, I'll put a cup over it. I said, this isn't going to work, is it? I'm leaning over it with a cup now. Scott's like, probably not. I said, so you know, if this thing turns around and jumps on me, I'm going to scream like a little girl. He goes, oh, yeah. I said, okay. I don't want to hear any crap from you when I scream like a little girl. He went, no. Well, okay then. And, whew, drop a cup on it. I was like, oh, jam. Now what? So, Scott gets a brilliant idea. Take a piece of paper and slide it up under it and take it outside. It's like, ha! Take a piece of paper, slide it up under it, pick it all up, take it outside. Pull the paper off with a flourish. No cricket. Where the hell is a cricket? And I'm starting to turn it and point it at my face so I can look in the cup. And Scott goes, it's in the cup, isn't it? And something in my brain said, hey, stupid. Hey, dummy. So I just shook it, and the cricket jumped out. I went, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Because I know if I'd have turned it, it would have jumped on my face, and I'd have screamed like a little girl. I'd have screamed like a little girl outside where everybody can hear me, not in my apartment. Which would have been worse. And I said, oh, man, let me get my notepad. I got to write this down. This might turn into a bit at some point. And I don't know if it will or not. I might append it to the end of the spiders one. But I was like, hey, wait a minute. I need to work on my material for this upcoming weekend show. He went, oh, yeah. I said, I got to figure out which material to do. And we sat there and hashed it out and thought about it. And I don't have much material that I've actually done yet. So it didn't take too long. But and I was like, okay. I need to actually, you know, improve this stuff. And I was telling the story at work, and one of the guys was like, so did you feel like Peyton Manning going over a football video? And I'm like, yeah, I did, because we came in here, pulled up Facebook, watched my video that had all the material in it I was going to do, and, like, picked it apart. It's like, you see this right here? This didn't kick hard enough. I want to get a bigger laugh here. Yeah. See, that was just ad-lib. I didn't like that. I need to come up with something better there. And he and I worked on this. It came up with something to do to fill the extra minute, because at the Comedy Zone it's 4 minutes. At this place it's five. And suddenly it was 1:30. I had to be at work at 8, which means my alarm was set for 6:15. But I wrote it all down and all that. And actually, as soon as we hang up, no, I'm not, because I got to go call Scott and we're going to the grocery store. Damn it. But anyway, that is what I did last night. I was going to work on the episode, but Mike didn't send it to me.
Nope.
And then I wasn't going to work on the episode because we were playing Magic and then we were working on material and having cricket adventures. So, yeah, if anyone is interested, again, I've said this before, but it's on my Facebook page. I have it open to everybody, so if you're not my friend, don't worry about it. You can still see me be funny. It is horribly vulgar. Horribly vulgar. So if that sort of thing offends you, well, okay, you listen to the show because I don't do it on the show. But if that sort of thing offends you, don't watch it. But other than that, check it out. I like to think it's funny. Give me some feedback of some sort, et cetera, et cetera. Yay. And now that I have done rambling about things that no one cares about, let's call this an episode.
Woo!
Look, Dirk is dying. Please don't die, Dirk.
He's even dying hoarsely.
Yeah. So, all right, so this has been episode 148 of The Manipool. You can email us at themanipool@gmail.com. You can hit the forums at cardshark.freeforums.org. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on iTunes. We're on the internet. We're on MTGcast. Hey, MTGcast! They allow us to be part of their feed, too, which gets us way more listeners.
Whoop.
So, yeah, we're all over the place. Check us out. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you think, etc., etc., etc. Yes, JR, I know. We need to talk more about magic and less about nonsense. I know.
Okay, you need to stop giving him a hard time. I shouldn't have told you that. I should have known you would have gone.
Oh, but it's funny.
And drove it into the ground.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Unfortunately, this is one of those opportunities where we actually get to talk and socialize with each other. So we just don't live close enough where we can just be like, hey, let's just hang out this weekend.
Yeah, except for me and Mike, and we still don't do it.
Yes, sir.
It's like, hey, Mike, you want to... No, I don't want to call Mike. Okay, so that's enough.
Like, hey, Mike, what you doing? I was like, well, I was thinking about going to the shop unless someone else called me. It's like,
Yeah, I'm saving Mike from going to Top Deck and spending way too much money.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that's helping. I'm helping! Okay, I've tried to end the episode 3 times, so I'm actually going to do it now. Thank you all very much for listening, and go play some magic.